that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello!
Really?
Hello!
Deja vu!
You know what that means? For the long-time listeners...
That's the secret code for...
They know what
how much of this are they repeating?
That's right. So here we are.
Yep.
A few days early.
Yeah.
It is Monday, although you're hearing this on Thursday. Regular release schedule.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, regular release schedule.
Oh, that's good.
That's how we, you know...
That's good. Keep it, consistency. Keep
it yeah, exactly. It is daylight savings. It is warm in New Jersey, finally.
Yeah.
I think it's actually here to stay. Which
no.
Is nice.
I don't believe it.
No, tonight's going to be below freezing.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be like 30, though. It's not going to be like 9.
20s.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe by you, not by me.
And by you.
No.
Oh, yes, sir.
I don't believe so.
Oh, we just saw the news, sir, while we were having lunch.
I just listened to it on the way home. It was yeah, like we... 30 degrees in Essex County.
Really? You know, when really? Scapegoat and I... When Scapegoat and I go
we're
out
really
to eat,
fighting
sir,
about this?
I don't know why we're fighting about it.
Scapegoat and I go out to eat. We go to the finest establishments that show New Jersey News 12.
That's great.
That shows us the degrees.
Are we sleeping during the news?
Wow.
I just heard.
Okay. It's fine.
Look, whatever. If it's 20 or if it's 30, it's going to be back in the 40s tomorrow and 50s on Wednesday.
See if all your shit freezes.
So let's see how that goes.
Okay.
That being said.
Yeah.
We are here.
Yes.
This is episode 364.
Uh-huh.
Really?
We are calling it.
Really?
Really. That's the theme this week. Yeah. We've already said it a lot before the mics were on.
So many reasons.
When we thought the mics were on.
Uh-huh.
When they were on
no,
but not recording.
They were on. It just nothing was happening.
Yeah, you know, all that good stuff.
It's kind of like watching Walking Dead.
It is kind of like,
hey,
it's,
no,
it's on but nothing was happening.
No, that is just... You know,
let's start with Walking Dead then. I didn't plan on talking about this, but we might as well.
Sure.
So not only did they release the first still from the spinoff show.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was really nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Really.
No, that's surprising.
And it was three people in the cast.
Oh, cool.
But it's already been confirmed for two seasons. So they have a lot of confidence in the spinoff.
Why would they not have confidence in it? Because the regular one is still one of the top shows on TV.
Irregardless, whatever the right word is. I know that's grammatically irregardless is not a word, although I think
correct.
It's been corrected now.
Irregardless
it's been retconned. Spinoffs don't necessarily always do as well as the original.
Oh.
So I would think
like Better Call Saul.
Which is also greenlit for two seasons.
Okay. I'm saying and I think that is odd as well. Despite how good Breaking Bad was. All I'm saying is
and how good
I find
Better Call Saul.
It odd. When they greenlight a show for two seasons before the first episode of the show has even aired.
I think it's to give them creative freedom.
Okay.
It's a confidence thing. It's like, hey, don't wrap up everything at the end of season one.
Right.
You got room to
you
grow
have room
and do
for
stuff.
Season two. Okay.
I think it helps the creators a lot.
Well, I don't necessarily... Well, I agree with your point. I think also it plays into a lot of, like, how much are they going to put into season one if they don't have the guarantee of a season two?
Right.
Look, it also helps people invest in the show.
Of course.
Because they know it's not going anywhere.
Personally, I think that it's interesting. That's all.
Gotcha.
You don't have to agree.
Does that mean you're going to watch the spinoff?
No. why would I?
I know. Why would you?
All right. Well, Gotham hasn't aired yet. So our weekly Gotham segment this
That's why I'm not as energetic.
There's no
I'm not,
fire
I'm not
and
filled
brimstone.
With the warmth this, of
well, we do have a
warmth
piece
of
Gotham
dislike.
News.
That's right. Jada Pinkett Smith not coming back for season 2.
Woo-hoo! The fish is out of water.
Which I don't really that's terrible.
You're welcome.
Which really? I don't really think is that big of a shock, but there it is. She's not coming back for season 2. I don't think anybody wanted her to come back. I don't think she wanted him to come back.
Now, if we can just get the rest of the cast not to come back for season 2.
Score.
Wow.
All right. Other DC related. Oh, actually, before we do that,
yes.
Gotham always tops off the show, so we had to go right into that. Sure. But you guys saw Chappie.
We did see Chappie.
So do we want to talk about
it?
I did not see Chappie.
Awesome.
I've heard nothing but good.
Neil Blumenkamp is 2 for 3.
And speaking of him, District 10, right? He already has plans
Neil
for District Blumenkamp? 10.
Blumenkamp.
What?
I don't think it's Kampf either.
What is it?
Neil Blumenkamp?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. He is 2 for 3 now. 2 for 3.
Yes. A lot of people said that it wasn't doing that good in the box office, but it was number one in the box office, but it was a shitty box office weekend. Like, nothing did good in the Focus.
Yeah.
The Will Smith, Margot Robbie film.
Yeah. Yeah. Garbage. Because no one cares. Because we've all seen Margot Robbie naked. So it's right. Like, what am I going matters? To see her naked again? Right. Who cares? Box office be damned. I thought it was a really good movie.
I've heard a lot of
good
things.
I don't know where Scapegoat. Scapegoat is, as usual, a little ambiguous on his feelings about it.
So. Yeah.
All right.
I am.
I loved it. I thought if you're going to reboot Short Circuit, this is the way to go. Is the way I was.
And you're going to mix it with
RoboCop?
Was the Antwoord Los Lobos in this one?
No.
Or Los Locos, whatever the hell the name of the gang was that sang that little ditty in Short Circuit.
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I think that it's the movie that director wanted to make, and for that it is really good.
Okay.
My reservation is stuff like, could they have done a couple of things either deeper to like tackle, because they started asking philosophical questions about like, what does it mean to be human and the nature of consciousness, and then said, just kidding. Like, they didn't actually tackle the issues that they brought up, maybe on purpose. And then there were a couple of things that have to happen in an action-based movie that are really contrived, like Hugh Jackman existing at all. Like, his character is just makes no fucking sense.
All right.
And the whole time it's that's what I mean. There are a couple of like action movie elements that are like, we could make this our own and make it unique, but we won't. Like, there's a secret thumb drive that is the only way for you to do this one specific thing in the entire universe, and we're going to use it 5 times as a plot device because we can't think of anything else. Like, that kind of stuff.
All right.
Brought it down to me. But having to nitpick, like, they didn't get too philosophical enough and they had to use this one plot device. Yeah. It's a really entertaining, good movie that is also smarter than look at all the stuff blowing up. So
right. Yes.
Okay. I liked it a lot. I would definitely go see it. Is it on the level of District 9 where at the end I'm like, wow, that really made me think about apartheid and the way that South Africa has affected? No, not at all.
How do you feel about District 10 then?
Who knows? If there's a good story, awesome. If not, I don't really want to see it again.
Well,
yeah, we'll see.
Is that his next film?
But no. That's the thing. He's doing Alien.
Alien, I think, is next.
Oh, Alien is his next film. So really, really, he's still, to me, it's what I said about the Wachowskis. Like, I will go see probably every movie this guy makes, hoping to get the District 9 level of wow,
right,
which this movie literally opened the same way as District 9, which is people being interviewed about the incident, which they never get back to, which kind of bothered me. Because the way to wrap this up, because the point of District 9 is this was a real world event. You're going to see it from these characters' perspectives.
Right.
And then they zoom out and say, look at what happened and the impact it had on the world, which is why it'd be cool to revisit if he has a story. This one, it starts that way. It's like a professor of neuroscience and AI development at MIT saying, the Chappie incident was really interesting, and they never revisit it. So I don't know if the director forgot, if there's going to be online ad campaigns about it, but it literally didn't matter at all. So I don't know why he opened that way other than to be like, I remember District 9, shut up about Elysium. Like, I don't know what the point of that was.
What I'm concerned about is that he's going to go the M. Night Shyamalan way of being every other movie being not really that good.
Because
that's his pattern.
What do you
right
mean?
Now.
M. Night Shyamalan made 4 good movies total and then just sucks. Like, what's a good movie he's made recently in the past 5 years?
I'm just saying, like, in general, the pattern was, you know,
was not well.
Was a palatable movie. He's not a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I like Sixth Sense. Movie. I liked Unbreakable, which was the follow-up.
I loved Unbreakable.
Signs is divisive, but okay.
And then everything after that, as far as I was concerned.
I liked The Village.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I did not care for
The Village. I hated Signs.
What was he at? The plant one?
Yeah, The Happening.
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
I don't want to put Neil and
Something.
M. Night Shyamalan anywhere near each other. But I understand what you're saying. Will he misstep every once in a while? That makes us doubt his. And I understand.
Great movie, Elysium.
Yeah.
Great movie, Alien.
Well, I'm concerned. I don't know. I'm not concerned for Alien. And this movie really walks a line between being almost like a family friendly. Isn't this a cute robot? And a really dark character study about the nature of crime in South Africa. And because it doesn't go too deep in either direction, to me it was like, well, why?
Yeah, I like that.
Why do it? But that is nitpicky, not meant to be, I don't like this movie. It's awesome. You should go see it. See it in IMAX. It's not in 3D, thank God.
Right.
And enjoy it. It's cool. Right.
But apparently The Walk will be in IMAX 3D for some reason.
What is The Walk?
It's Robert Zemeckis' new movie about the guy that walked across a tightrope from the two towers. Whoops. The World Trade Center building.
Yes, yes.
So, some reason
French that's guy, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think so. Didn't that win an Oscar like 10 years? Like
the
documentary based on it. Man on Wire, I think, yeah.
It was nominated.
So Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing that guy.
Yeah, and he looks weird because he's got like blue eyes. It's weird.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I do too.
Yeah, but he takes some interesting choices too. So,
yeah.
But anyway, Supergirl. So the images of Supergirl for the CW show were leaked online last week. Or not leaked, they were released online.
Yeah. Boo!
I like the costume,
but
I just don't care about the show.
It's the Man of Steel costume.
See, I disagree with that.
It looks the same to me.
No, see, I disagree. Okay. I think it looks more like a traditional costume. They just kind of darkened it up a bit. Like, not grittied it. Not gritty, darky, like Man of Steel.
Right.
Like, they made the red maroon.
You know
what I mean? They made the blue navy blue.
It does look like she could fit in with the Arrow universe.
She could.
Yeah.
She could.
I don't really want that.
No, I don't want that to happen either. But, I mean, like, I have other problems with the show. The costume is the least of the issues. Like, Cyborg Superman or the guy that becomes Cyborg, that's going to be the lead villain. Like, that makes no fucking sense to me. Like, in general, I don't care about the Super Family. Like, I've never have. I don't care about any of them. Yep. So,
why would you?
Right. So, there you go.
They're awful.
Wow.
Let's move on.
Wearing a Superman shirt today.
I know that you didn't get a chance to watch all of it. You watched part of it. And I know that I think you watched it. Tomorrowland?
Yeah.
I want everybody to watch it before we talk about it. Okay. But what I want to say is, it's nice that they finally released a trailer that actually tells us what the movie is about. With that being said, I like the trailer. Finally. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I like the teaser, so I imagine.
Hated the teasers. Because the teasers to me, the teasers were a disservice because they made me less interested in the movie because they were being so coy that it was like, she's in a cornfield and she's not. And she's in prison. And she's in a cornfield and she's
I just
in
like the visuals in the last 30 seconds when she was actually there.
The new trailer, though, is a real legit trailer.
Yeah.
And there's some really interesting things in it.
Isn't this based on something?
I don't think so.
I thought Tomorrowland was
based.
Did they pretend to make it based on something?
Yeah, okay. I think it is loosely based on the concept of Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom in Disney World.
Yeah.
It like Space Mountain, for example, is in that shot. Like in the background of that one shot where she's kind of looking on the city, kind of like Dorothy looking on Oz, like that shot. Space Mountain is there. So I think the concept is based loosely on the park. Very loosely on the park.
Gotcha.
But that being said, there's some stuff in the trailer that changes my perception of what I thought it was based on the teasers.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Like the part in the car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like that was like, oh, that's not what I thought at all.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know either. I definitely wanted to see this movie for a while.
Yeah.
There's enough names on there.
And I like Brad Bird. Like Brad Bird, as far as I'm concerned, is a really good Disney director. A good director in general, but he's done some of my favorite stuff. So
I have a piece of news. I wonder if you have it there.
Well, go for it.
Did you hear who's directing the Lego Movie sequel?
I did. Rob Schrab Rob is directing Schrab. The Lego Movie sequel.
The Scud, creator the of Disposable Assassin. That's correct, sir. One of the best comic books of the 90s.
Yeah, man.
He is also a director, apparently, on Community.
He is.
Many episodes.
Mm-hmm. He is. He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he nominated for an Oscar?
He was nominated for, I don't know if it was an Oscar. He was nominated for an Emmy because he was writing for a Sarah Silverman show.
Yes. Yes. I think that's what I was thinking of. And, you know, he's one of those, he's a bit reclusive, isn't he, Rob Schrab?
I don't think reclusive. I just think he does what he does, and that's what he's not out. You know, he's not all out there and shit.
But I'm okay with him directing the Lego movie. Yeah. I like his writing style.
Yep.
I think it's quirky, certainly. So I think it will work for that.
And maybe he'll slip in a Lego disposable scud. That'd be pretty cool. That would be funny.
A big thing today, and I was gonna kind of skip over it, but someone was like, you probably should at least mention this. So, listener says we should mention it. I'll at least mention it.
Someone.
In the new upcoming Star Wars novel, Lords of the Sith.
Yes.
They are interesting. The first official LGBT canon character. It's a Moff, right? Moff Moors is a lesbian in the books. Good for the universe. I mean, good for the universe that they're being inclusive. Is it so huge that it's still so huge that you have to make it a big newsworthy story every time this happens? I don't know. Yeah. Like to me, I read it and I was like, that's cool.
It's the first time in the Star Wars universe that they're kind of having that discussion.
But let's be honest. It's really the first time that, you know, there's an out LGBT character in the Star Wars universe, because 3PO
is a droid.
Yeah, and he likes other boy droids. That's my opinion.
All right. I'm just saying.
Look, I think it's cool.
I think that's the reason it's newsworthy is the point that I was making.
Of course.
Yeah. Otherwise, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. This was interesting, I thought. And the more I thought about it, I was like, well, this might make sense. In an interview that James Gunn did this past week.
The James Gunn,
director of Guardians of the Galaxy. He said a lot of things this week. Like, he was asked about who he thought casting was going to be for Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel.
Ugh.
Right. And his reply to that was, I'm only worried about the characters in my film. I don't know who they're going to be cast.
It's a good answer.
And it's a perfectly good answer.
Perfect answer.
But a lot of people thought that they were going to introduce her in Guardians too. And I just don't think he's interested in doing that. I think he's really interested in focusing on the Guardians.
Yeah.
And the stories that he wants to tell. And he clearly has a tie into the greater universe, but
as loose a tie as they'll allow him to have.
I'm really comfortable with my guys and the things that I want to do. So I'm cool with that. But the really interesting thing was he was asked about San Diego this year. And his response was, I'm not sure. Marvel isn't going to be there, so I'm not sure that I'm going to be there either. And then someone else was like, well, he could be lying. And his response was, why would I be lying? So maybe Marvel's not going to be there. Cinematic? Think about it.
I can't imagine.
Think about it.
D23.
You've got Ant-Man that opens up a week after. Right, I think, or 2 weeks after. You've got D23 less than a month later. Maybe Disney is really like.
Can you imagine a San Diego without Robert Downey Jr. there to plug something?
But why would they have to? I'm gonna tell you why. I think that as a whole, we've slowly been seeing a disinterest from some of the bigger studios with San Diego.
We talked about this last year.
I think studios are getting fed up.
They did their own announcement event that wasn't D23 and wasn't anything.
That's right.
For the whole phase event. 3, all that shit.
Right.
So why do they need to sit in an auditorium with 100,000 other people not giving a shit?
Exactly.
I don't.
From a monetary perspective, they don't have to pay to get all that shit set up. I mean, that's just
D23 is their own event. It's already, you know, they don't have to pay to go to San Diego. And I think this is really Hollywood starting to say, you know, get your shit in order. Otherwise, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
The internet is bigger than you, clearly, because it's the internet. And we have our own event. And we have Star Wars and we have Marvel. And go fuck yourself.
And we're Disney.
And we're Disney. So there. Because we already think, or I think it hasn't been confirmed, but everybody's pretty confident that we're going to see a Star Wars trailer at Celebration. And then D23 is a couple months later.
It's
San Diego is sandwiched in between the two.
At this point, that rumor has been going back and forth between them saying absolutely not and other people saying absolutely yes.
Yeah.
So
it was absolutely not. And then it was J.J. Abrams and what's her name? Kathleen Kennedy are now opening Celebration, right? They were confirmed late.
Yeah.
Now they're opening the event. And it's like, well, if they're showing up, you'd think it's something big. I mean,
Showing up is the something big. But, you know, it's JJ, so there's no doubt he'll do something. Right. What will he do? I mean, it could be a 5-minute video just about that droid.
It could be.
I mean, it could be something dumb like that. It could be them all playing with the droid and controlling it. I mean, who knows? You know. I heard Harrison Ford is going to crash the party.
Oh. Yeah, I think you should have let Lando fly.
Really?
Wow. The interesting thing about the Harrison Ford story. First of all, thank God Harrison Ford is okay. He is a bad motherfucker. He survived it well. But the interesting part of that story was, if you were following it online, it was Harrison Ford rushed to the hospital in critical condition. 20 minutes later, Harrison Ford is stable. Harrison Ford walked to the ambulance that drove him off site. Like, that story progressed real crazy. And like his son, who's a chef apparently, was like, Ben, dad, like, he's okay. But that story was crazy. He's
just as tough as you expect him to be,
like,
right?
But yeah. I mean, it was all over the place in the span of like an hour and a half. From like, oh my God, is Indiana Jones dead? To oh, he's probably all right.
Sprained an ankle. He
crashed a World War II fighter plane into the ground and lived.
Yeah, lived. So
there was a lot of soldiers didn't do that shit. So
good for Harry. I'm glad that he's okay. Clearly, we're glad that he is okay.
Yeah.
That rumor went around again, by the way, after the crash.
What?
That he's dying in the movie.
Oh, I think he's dying in the movie.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think he doesn't want to do it anymore. I think he knew that he had to come back for episode 7 to wrap it up. I think that Leia will not die, but I think she will fade out very quickly in the next film. And I think Luke is the only one that lives through the entire trilogy.
What about Chewie?
I think that depends on Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Peter Mayhew makes another movie.
That's right. I don't think Harrison Ford wants to continue doing the character, honestly. And I think that I think killing him off might be a good motivational thing for other stuff that takes place in the story, and there it is. We could all be wrong. Who knows? I know. None of us know.
Fucking rumors.
Last thing I wanted to mention in segment one, because I really don't want to talk about the Saturday Night Live sketch unless you want to. Everybody was so excited about it, and I thought it was boring.
It was boring.
I give Chris Hemsworth a lot of credit because I actually thought that he by himself was kind of funny, but the rest of it was just kind of like,
hey, we have Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. We should do a sketch about the
awful, the awful Tony Stark and the awful Captain America.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Pretty terrible funny, but not funny, not haha funny. It went on a bit long. Valiant, who I didn't realize people still cared about Valiant, but I guess those books are doing very well. And DMG Entertainment has announced that they are bringing the Valiant universe to the big screen. Bloodshot, I think, is first, followed by Archer and Armstrong and Shadow Man. I used to really like these books in the 90s, and then I could care less when they came back. The only one that I would be interested in all honesty, Bloodshot and maybe Turok would be the only two that I would be interested in. But I think it's kind of gutsy. I mean, good for them if they're going to try to go to the big screen, but I just don't. I don't think it's going to be received well. In my opinion.
They should go small screen.
I'm thinking like small series. Yeah. On Hulu. I don't see Blockbuster.
That's a good Hulu exclusive.
I don't see Blockbuster. No, you gotta be wrong.
Hulu's pretty big. You gotta go a step down. You gotta Yahoo. Be like, no, I was going Amazon.
Sony.
Amazon series.
Because Amazon, I think, has actually got some decent programming too. That Powers. What is it? Oh, Powers, by the way, this week Episode 1 of Powers debuts later this week, if you care about that. The little teaser thing that they had online was pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'll check it out.
I will.
Who is Eddie Izzard playing in it?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
He's in it, though. He's
playing. Yes. Yeah, yes, he is
playing. He's a villain.
It's too, him, Charlton Copley.
And I don't
from play. District 9.
Yes.
And Chappie.
And I don't remember who...
He's the voice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who is playing Dina Pilgrim, the female lead. I don't remember the actress's name, but I think with that, can we take our first break already?
Sure.
Because we have a listener topic in segment 2. Right. We have a voicemail to toss out to the crowd in segment 2, and we have a quick review.
So. One bit of something.
Now. Yeah, yeah. All right. So with that...
With that, OG, we will put this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff on a pause while we hear from some commercial sponsors.
We have sponsors.
In that case, we'll be right back.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. SimCity 2013 was a flusterclock. Small maps, DRM that turned out to be always online lies, and the simple fact that SimCity wasn't a simulation. You could build a town without power. That shouldn't be possible. So here, in present day, developer Colossal Order said, here's City Skylines. It's what you wanted from SimCity all along. City Skylines looks really good, and it's available now for $30 on PC. The sequel to the game a lot of people liked, and I simply hated. Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, is out now for all PlayStation platforms and PC. A top-down shooter, but it's more of a puzzle game, as you try to figure out how to murder the guy in the next room without being shot yourself. There's more modes and modifiers than the first game, so Hotline Miami 2 is more than just more Hotline. Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, is available for $15 on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and PC. The Xbox One exclusive that made me say, damn it, this isn't coming to PlayStation 4. Ori and the Blind Forest is now available on Xbox One and PC. It's a gorgeous 2D side-scrolling action puzzle game that looks simply beautiful. But as stunning as the game looks, I'm sure you'll be spiking your controller with furious anger from the difficulty, as the phrase, it kinda controls like Super Meat Boy, is being passed around. Ori and the Blind Forest is now available for $20 on Xbox One and PC. And finally, Devil May Cry The Definitive Edition is available now on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It's the 2013 DMC game, with a few pieces of DLC, plus some new game modes for added challenge. The big hook is the game runs at 1080p at 60 frames per second on consoles. So they made an already great game, slightly nicer. And while you can still find DMC for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 for about $15 to $20, it's nice to see that Devil May Cry Definitive Edition is priced at $40. It takes the pressure off of buying a slightly better game. Devil May Cry Definitive Edition is out now for $40 on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 364. Really?
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 Really? Yes. Of course, if you would like to participate in the show, perhaps you have a question.
Yes.
And you would like to leave us a message on the GVM line, you can do that.
425-920-6050.
And with that, actually, I think we're going to play that, you know, we're going to flip things around. We're going to play that voicemail real quick now.
But I was all prepared.
I know, but I want to throw this out there.
Okay.
For next week. So we'll play it now.
Oh, good idea.
You know what I mean? Yes. And then we'll come back next week. So here you go. Here's a quick voicemail.
Hey, guys. This is Cleveland at CLE Steven on Twitter. Well, thank you very much for the show. Since I discovered the show, I definitely love it. I look forward to listening each and every single week. Sorry. I did do some reading on both the Convergence and on Secret Wars. And I wanted to say I'm super excited. This is my first chance to actually start collecting comic books. I had messaged... OG on Twitter that I'm going to be getting both Secret Wars and Convergence, and I think I'm going to follow along with the Captain America and the Mighty Avengers / Green Arrow, and I'll be probably following Red Hood Arsenal. My question to you guys was, of the titles that you guys are aware of, is there any you guys maybe suggest I should also check out, or other ones you think would be important? My second question is my wife is a fan of Starfire. Do you by chance know what Starfire is going to be a part of, which line, so I can keep an eye out for that. Enjoy the show as always, and thank you very much, guys.
So there you go.
So many reallys about that.
Really?
So a couple of things. I don't think we know post Secret Wars titles, because that's kind of the mystery of it.
Yeah.
The mystique is we don't know who's going to live and who's going to survive. Exactly.
That's the secret.
We also don't know. We also don't know. I mean, since they're kind of, you know, happening all over the place.
Right.
I mean, who's to say who's going to come and who isn't and so on and so forth.
So in regards to that, I don't have any Secret Wars titles to recommend or what I'm going to check out.
Here's what I'll be reading.
What?
Captain America.
There you go.
That said, though, I did look at previews this week.
Uh-huh.
There were a number of interesting titles, which I think I'm getting the impression are kind of standalone titles.
There are. They announced like 10 last week.
Yeah.
And another 13 are planned to be announced this week.
But I don't know that they're ongoing.
They're not. They're like one or two episode hits.
Yeah.
Just for Secret Wars.
Well, there were some of those that were like, that would be a really interesting book, which I would probably like to read.
The problem I have is that I don't want to read one or two issues and then it's done.
Yeah.
And like, then I'll just wait until it's done and then I'll pick a couple to follow.
I think one of them was Old Man Logan.
Right.
There was another one about, there was one with Thanos in it.
Yes.
That somehow drew me in, and I was like, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and then there was a third one, which I can't remember off the top of my head. They're also talking about Daredevil not staying in San Francisco anymore.
There you go.
So if that got rebooted after...
He's over Foggy Nelson's death.
I might give that a shot, but I doubt it. At this point, it's probably just going to be Cap and the Star Wars books in trade.
Right.
I'll probably... I'll read
that
Moon Knight in trade.
I'm going to read that Groot book that got announced today or yesterday, because Brian Kessinger is the artist on the book, and I am in love with that guy's art. You know who he is? He's that steampunk.
How is he just doing Groot?
Well, I'm sure that there will be other people in the book, but it's Groot's book. Just like Rocket has a book.
It's going to be a lot of good dialogue.
Yeah, but Rocket can be on his own. Groot has to be a team up book.
Maybe Groot gets his vocal cords back. Maybe they go old school. Remember, Groot used to talk.
Oh, I know, son.
Before he was just I Am Groot, he was quite prolific.
I know.
But Convergence. So the thing we want to throw out to the audience is, what books do you plan on picking up post-Convergence? For me, I will pick up Red Hood and Arsenal, because Arsenal is in it. Green Arrow, obviously. Batman. I think I'm going to drop Detective, though.
Really?
I think so. I haven't really been.
Oh, I'm not.
I haven't been in love with Detective.
I think the issue with Detective is it's whoever's on the book for how long the run is.
Right.
Because there have been some weak runs, but there have also been some killer runs in that book. Yeah, I'm not. I can't give up Detective, and Batman are absolutes.
I will check out Constantine again, just because I always check it out, and if it's good, I'll continue. If it stinks, I drop it after a couple issues. I'm gonna check out Gotham Academy, because I've been reading that now, and I actually kind of like it. It's a weird, sort of quirky book, but I kind of dig it.
Are you reading Gotham by Midnight?
I have them all.
That
I have not
book
started reading
is
it yet.
Fantastic. I hope that stays around.
And then in regards to your question for Starfire is actually getting her own book post-Convergence. That's just called Starfire.
So they're just spinning her out of Red Hood and the Outlaws?
Well, because Arsenal and Red Hood are going off in their own book. So she'll get her own book. My guess is that she'll end up re-teaming up with Power Girl at some point, or they'll relaunch some sort of weird Birds of Prey book that she'll be part of, or maybe they'll kick off a Teen Titans book again. Yeah, I mean,
but
there's
again,
a lot of places for her
again,
to go.
Who knows?
Because
we don't know again who's surviving that.
But to start, we have a list of Convergence books.
I know, but
so to start, she's getting her own book.
Right.
So that's your answer for that.
Right.
So why don't you give us a call again on the GVM line?
425-920-6050.
This is everybody, not just Cleveland.
And let us know what Convergence books you're going to be checking out.
We know Cleveland will be checking out books.
All right.
And Mrs. Cleveland.
Let's move into our... let's move into our Batman question of the week. This came in from Scanner 51 on Twitter.
Wait, I just want to be clear. It's a question of the week, and it happens to be about Batman. We're not launching a segment where we're asking questions about Batman every week.
No. Okay. No. It's a question of the week that happens to be about Batman. This comes from Scanner 51 on Twitter, who is already defeated, by the way. He already feels as though his opinion is invalid because he disagrees with me, and clearly he disagrees with you. But we'll get to it in a second.
Alrighty.
His question to me was:
are we all going to agree, and this will be boring?
No, because I actually understand.
You're a contrarian.
No, because I actually understand.
I disagree with that.
I actually understand his point, and then I have some counterpoints.
Gotcha.
To it.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
So his question was: we'll get to it. His question was: is Batman a superhero?
Yes.
Or is he just a super-willed guy? Is how he worded it to me. That was his words: a super-willed guy.
Super-willed. He's super willed to fight crime.
Now, but in Scanner 51's defense, I've heard this question come up before.
Absolutely.
I think we might have even debated it at one point in time olden days.
Yeah.
And the question is, do you need superpowers to be a superhero?
Do you know when we debated this?
There was
some sort of special on cable
about superheroes,
and we were debating and discussing it with a longtime producer, original producer.
Oh yes,
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, if you think about Batman, you know what other heroes fall into the Batman category, right? So because I don't want to just focus on Batman and
Green Arrow,
Robin.
Well, everyone from the Batman family.
Well,
not everyone.
Pretty much.
No, most of them, but not everyone.
Because I Jason Todd skates a funny line now.
Because
he died and came back. And he's got some But Damian Wayne too. And I would even argue that at some point.
No, I would totally not put Damian Wayne in that category.
No, right, exactly. But Green Arrow. But let's go to Marvel. Okay. Hawkeye, Black Widow.
But we're talking Iron about Man. DC.
I would even we're talking about heroes in general.
Yes. Iron Man.
I would agree. Iron Man is a good one.
Yeah.
So do you have to have superpowers to be a superhero?
No.
You have to be super smart or super rich?
No.
No. Ragman.
Right. So we agree to a certain, right? Now, on Twitter, I did a quick Twitter poll today. Most people agree with us, but there are a handful of people that agree with Mr. Scanner 51 that you don't. But then I said to myself, okay, so if you don't have to be a superhero or if you don't have superpowers to be a superhero, you could just be a vigilante, or you could just really want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between hero and superhero then?
Supervillains.
No. All right, let's focus on good guys. Is there a hero between superhero? So, for example.
No, I'm saying.
So for example, James Gordon. He's a police officer, but
if he was,
he's part of the, clearly he was the bends the line.
If he was the Gordoner, right, he would be a superhero.
But he clearly
he's just a regular hero now.
Okay, so there is a difference between.
So you're saying the difference is branding.
What's the difference? Is it branding?
Dick Grayson.
Is it vigilantism?
Dick Grayson.
Is it?
That's the answer to your question right there. Dick Grayson is not a superhero, but Nightwing is.
But that's alter
that's
egos
what?
Though.
How is it alter egos? If Jim Gordon put on a mask and started fighting crime, Jim Gordon would be a superhero.
Okay, so vigilantism is the answer. Is the answer that?
How are we defining vigilantism?
Batman is a vigilante.
So is
Green Arrow is a vigilante.
Is secret identity what makes them a superhero?
Black Widow not a vigilante because she's
definition.
So maybe
yes.
It's being a symbol as opposed to a person.
Okay,
I'm not a symbol.
No, I'm just saying point is if they're putting on a mask, it's not about hiding the identity. It's about creating one that isn't about being a person. It's the idea is that not everyone could go do that.
Right.
Isn't that what makes them super?
The hero. I don't know.
But I think it's an interesting question because I think on the surface it seems like a very simple solution.
Yeah.
But when you kind of boil it down a little bit further, I don't know that it's as cut and dry and straightforward. That's all. I think there are levels to it.
Well, I think Jim Gordon can't be because he's on the police force.
Yeah, but Jim Gordon, like throughout his illustrious career,
no policeman.
Has given up his badge at times. He's done stuff outside of the scope of the law.
Yeah.
Who's a hero? Who's a cop? There has to be one. I'm just not thinking.
You mean a superhero?
In alternate universes, Spider-Man was a policeman.
Right,
that has nothing to do with what we're talking. Right?
Yeah, absolutely, it does because he goes out as Spider-Man, and he also is a policeman.
Great, that would still not make him a superhero when he was a policeman, as that's, to your previous definition that Dick Grayson is not a superhero, but Nightwing is.
Yeah. I thought you were arguing the opposite point.
I am
does,
not.
Does Dick Grayson fight crime as Dick Grayson? Doesn't he only fight crime as Nightwing?
Yeah. No. He's fighting crime right now as Dick Grayson.
But that book confuses me because Nightwing is still a book. It
confuses everyone.
That book is an anomaly.
Let's take it as itself and not be
trying
to string it into everything else. I got a better one for you. Okay.
Steve Rogers is a superhero.
Steve Rogers is a superhero, yeah. That stinks because he was Steve Rogers for the longest time.
Right, but as just plain old Steve Rogers, he was, you know, he was a veteran and all those things.
Yeah,
right?
But
as soon as he hits, as soon as he gets the serum, it's over. It's
over. Yeah. He hits the needle.
That's it. As soon as he taps the bat, it's over, Johnny.
Yep.
What about Star-Lord?
What about Star-Lord?
He has no superpowers. I mean, he's part alien, depending on what origin you believe.
Then he can't, by definition.
But
we don't know what his powers are.
But he
held the Infinity Gem and didn't die in the movie.
Okay, yeah, but as far as we know, he has no powers, right? Maybe he sort of does, but
he's not a superhero because he doesn't.
He's a crook.
Fight crime like
yeah,
he doesn't.
He's a criminal. Okay,
yes, but. But he
criminal who does heroic things. Okay, he's an anti-hero.
But he's like the Han Solo, though. He kind of fights on the side of good, but he's a little shady on the side. But okay. I would still argue that Star-Lord is a superhero.
Is John Constantine a superhero?
Yes, I think so.
No,
I think so because I think his ultimate goal is good. He's not trying to. He's not going after innocent people. And you know, he's not robbing banks. You know what I mean? Yeah, he deals with the dark arts, but he deals with the dark arts in order to banish them or eliminate them. Does he walk a fine line? But I think any vigilante walks a fine line. You know, if Batman brings any criminal to justice and kills them in the process, that walks a fine line. No? Green Arrow, the same thing?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the DC ones are harder to define than the Marvel ones because
on
Black Widow, you know, she's government, right? But yeah, Hawkeye, she's government. So but the DC ones tend to be more of the vigilante. But again, that's, that's why you always have that trope where, you know, the Gotham PD forever hates Batman, right? They're always hunting Batman in some way, shape, or form, even though Batman is taking down all the crime bosses and protecting Gotham from...
Everything.
Now, fuck Batman. We want to fight the Joker by ourselves. No, you're an asshole. You want Batman to fight the Joker, moron? Like, so, yeah. but it's not quite cut and dry, I think, is the interesting part of that question.
I'm not the hero.
On the surface,
the city
I don't think you need superpowers to be a superhero.
But I do think what also defines a superhero is having supervillains as their arch nemesis. Like,
ooh, he's giving us the unbreakable theory.
If you're a superhero.
Yeah, if you're
yes,
a superhero,
you are.
If you're a superhero, and the only person you're fighting is a pickpocket,
right.
Then who
you're
gives
not
a
superhero.
You're a vigilante then. A vigilante.
Did I upset you because I said you're giving
I
us
didn't
the
realize
theory.
That's where I was going with it.
But that's where you're going with
but,
it.
I mean, not really.
But again,
Mr. Glass.
But again, you have to be careful how you define supervillain too. Because then again, Green Arrow kind of, because a lot of Green Arrow's villains, at least on Arrow, right? A lot of Green Arrow's villains are just, for the most part, kind of just, they're drug lords, they're crime bosses. I mean, with the exception of Deathstroke, right, which is clearly a Mirakuru and all that shit. But,
right. Like,
a lot of the people he's fighting, the Clockwork Gang and all that, the Card Gang, Royal Flush Gang or whatever, those guys don't have superpowers. But they're supervillains because of the lengths that they'll go to do bad. So you have to, the two kind of define each other.
Yeah.
In a weird way. So,
anyway. The show's a whole different breeding ground of...
But if you did not chime in on Twitter already and you would like to chime in on this conversation, you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920.
No.
6050.
This is not the end of the show.
I know it's not because we still have to talk about Maddie.
Yeah.
I just felt like it.
That was just him. He was supposed to do that.
That's weird. I'm getting blamed for some. Oh, I get it. I see.
You're getting blamed because it's your fault.
It's my
Let's
my,
talk about this piece
my
right
name.
Here.
Yeah.
So this is Maddie. She is the first figure in the Four Horses of the Apocalypse, which features five figures.
She's the number five.
That's right.
She's very Cthulhu-esque.
Based on Cthulhu.
Oh, that makes sense.
She is Cthulhu-inspired. What if Cthulhu and My Little Pony had an illegitimate love child?
She is the horsey's mysterious mentor. Maddie is an, quote, older sister type with an affinity for sleeping.
Yeah, Cthulhu.
Despite her drowsy disposition, this tentacled terror is incredibly capable strategist and, quote, face, end quote, to the apocalypse.
So she was, Maddie was the first Kickstarter campaign between Tenacious Toys and Big Shot Toy Works. It was to launch this Four Horses of the Apocalypse line. Now, of course, since then, the Four Horses of the Apocalypse Kickstarter has come and gone. It was successfully funded.
Amazing.
And of course, they sort of represent the traditional horses of the apocalypse. Raven, Calamity, Ghost, and Clash.
What do you mean sort of?
Well,
death, pestilence, war, and famine. They're all there.
So Ghost is death, I guess?
Yeah.
What's Calamity?
Let me see it. Well, Clash is clearly war. Ghost is clearly death.
Calamity is pestilence, I guess, because she's wearing the gas mask.
What's the other one? Pestilence.
Famine.
Famine. Yeah, because it's a
skeleton, right?
Because look at Raven is.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
But it's a great figure. The first thing that I noticed about this figure, believe it or not, and this is, I guess it's odd, but it's heavy. It's not a light piece of vinyl. That's heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's maybe it's resin. I'm not sure. It doesn't really feature any points.
No, it feels.
Whatever it is, it's heavy.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it's really articulated outside of the wings.
The head, no?
No. If the head is articulated.
I ain't trying.
I have tried to the point where I was no longer comfortable trying.
Wow.
But it is a great figure.
Oh, yeah.
You can still get these if you check out tenacioustoys.com.
Definitely.
They are still available, so check those out.
I actually got the GID, which is the glow-in-the-dark version.
That's right. There were multiple versions of this one.
Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm seeing this one, I'm wondering if I made the right choice. Yeah. Because I like the idea of having them displayed like she's the mentor to the other four. And I like, I don't know, the whole kind of... you know, spiritness of it.
Well, the nice thing about it
kind of was appearing.
You have options if you want.
I know.
So definitely check out tenacioustoys.com. Check out Maddie. Check out the rest of the Four Horses of the Apocalypse. I believe if you did not get in on that Kickstarter, there will be figures still available that you can buy at the time.
Yes.
I think it'll be limited, but you can check them out. So we'll have more on that.
They're amazing. But we've seen those. They are amazing. The protos were awesome.
Right now, according to Maddie, who is speaking to me, and according to the wrap-up music that is playing underneath, she is calling in not the apocalypse, but the end of the show. She's telling us to wrap it up.
It's similar. Oh. That's similar for certain people.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
So.
I know someone in Cleveland, too.
Oh.
Wow. What?
So, don't forget.
Don't devalue yourself.
You can check us out each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, you can find us on the Twitter, at bkgeekstuff. At ScapegoatGS and at GeekStuffOG. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube. We're
everywhere.
Everywhere. So please check us out. Of course, if you want to participate in any of the questions we tossed out tonight, or maybe you have something else, you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050. All the numbers right that time.
Right. And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yep.
And I think, Big Kev, with that,
did we check that? Oh, we did. Okay. Yes, OG. I am now prepared to bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close by saying good night, Sam Simon, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music. The